This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله العالمين والصلوات الله وسلامه على نبيه الكريم عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My brothers and my sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So the way technology works is that I begin the session, two of you are watching, 40 of you are now getting a notice that two of you are watching and you should join as well. And as I'm saying this, five more of you have joined. And 50 more people have gotten a notice that seven or eight of you are online watching. And so they start to join. And so when you start these online sessions that are live, you are pretty much all by yourself until you start to see people trickle in. The downside to that is that when the class starts, people are literally trickling in because they're in the middle of doing things. So all of what you've been hearing me say so far has just been the ramblings of myself going on and on as we wait for people to trickle in. Some of you benefited and enjoyed a laugh out of that rambling of mine, and others of you are probably sitting there going, what on earth is he talking about? That's okay, because every single one of us goes through things in life that just don't make sense. Alhamdulillah, I hope everyone is doing well, inshallah. That's just me, stalling and buying some time so that people are, you know, able to click on the link and start joining the session. We have you on four, five, six different locations, alhamdulillah. It's Friday night, and we typically go through our essential fiqh. No, sorry, we typically go through our etiquettes class, right? Friday night. But I was talking about a few things with quite a few people today because of the announcement that was made for us in Ontario to be going through stage or entering into step two of reopen. Sorry. Entering into step three of reopening from next Friday, inshallah ta'ala. And what does that mean for us here in the masjid, in the community, and so on? Well, for us in the masjid, it doesn't really change much. I'll be totally honest with you. It just changes some figures that doesn't actually change anything on the ground. What it means is that we will be allowed to open at full capacity while still maintaining the 6-foot distancing, physical distancing between each person that's within the masjid for a congregation, therefore allowing us to still only gather a maximum number of people that we have been able to gather since reopening anyways. So it doesn't really change. We're not really able to gather more than 200 people in the masjid at a time instead of being able to go up to 1,500 people. However, what it does do for us is it's a step forward, closer to another step of allowing us to gather as we used to. One thing that I was sharing with some community members today is the fact that we used to have in-person Friday night sessions, right? Where we would all come to the masjid and there would be, you know, a good 500 or 600 people here in the masjid, in the mosque, at the Asana Community Center of Milton. And it would be fun and it would be filled with energy, excitement. You know, we'd have tea, we'd have snacks, we'd have, you know, treats for the children, candies and cookies and chocolate and so on. We'd do quizzes and we'd basically have fun. And we're looking forward to that very soon, inshallah. But for now, we continue in doing things the way we are doing them. I know it's not the best. I know it's not the greatest. Honestly, when, you know, it probably feels really strange for you, but just imagine how it feels for me. I usually have 600 people sitting in front of me with all this chaos and everything, but that's the fun side of it. And right now I have just a bunch of numbers and I keep seeing myself on all. I have multiple screens in front of me where I could see myself. And every time I move like this, I just see like all, I have like 15 hands in front of me right now. So that's the interesting thing of the online world that we live in right now. Getting into our topic for today. Today, inshallah ta'ala, considering that Sunday will be the first day of Dhul-Hijjah, right? I figured that we would build upon our topic of the Jum'ah khutbah today. In the khutbah is usually very short, and we don't get time to elaborate a lot more on the topics that we're discussing in the khutbah. Of the Friday sermon for those that are wondering what I'm referring to. So what we're going to do today, tonight, here, right now, inshallah ta'ala, is just talk about the importance of Dhul Hijjah. And I want to take a step back. I want to take a step back to Hajj. Hajj. I was thinking earlier, and usually, you know, leading up to this time of the year, I'm packing my bags, my wife is packing her bags. You know, we're booking flights nonstop from morning till evening. We're looking at different flight options. We're looking at timings. We are looking at, you know, logistics and names of people that are coming with us for Hajj in the group. You know, we are sending emails back and forth nonstop with regards to vaccinations, with regards to visas, with regards to transit time, with regards to airlines, with regards to, you know, family and where we're going to drop the children off and how they're going to spend the time when they're at their grandparents and so on and so forth. And so it's usually a very busy time of the year right now. This week, basically, this weekend would be the weekend that we would most likely fly out to Mecca for Hajj. But we're not doing that this year. And so for many people that have the intention to go for Hajj, or many people who have gone for Hajj, or many people who go for Hajj regularly, like myself, you know, having been blessed with the ability to go for Hajj year after year, alhamdulillah, with Al-Muyassar, you know, it's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I really do ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pray and hope that we can go again for Hajj very soon, hopefully next year, inshallah ta'ala. But it really makes us think to ourselves, when people go for Hajj, they usually are so excited that they are going for Hajj and they've been chosen to go for Hajj that all of their focus and attention is on that. And this happens to myself as well. When I go for Hajj, you know, I'm thinking to myself, khalas, the imams that are here, that are staying behind, that are looking after the community while we're gone, they will be focusing on Eid al-Adha, you know, preparations. They will be focusing on educating the community as to the importance of Dhul Hijjah and what to do in these first 10 days and so on and so forth. And we usually focus on, you know, reading the books and, you know, refreshing our memory with regards to the Jamarat, with regards to Muzdalifah, with regards to Mina, with regards to performing the Umrah, and with regards to certain very fine details. Hajj has general, you know, guidelines, and then there's very fine details that most people don't think of until they get to Hajj. And while they're there in the days of Hajj, they're like, oh, this happened to me. What do I do? You know, I stepped out of the boundaries. What am I supposed to do? Or I violated my ihram. What am I supposed to do? Or I'm unable to perform my umrah before going for Hajj. What am I supposed to do? So these are all thoughts that run through the minds of the people as they get there and experience Hajj. But for people who are going as leaders, we need to be prepared to answer these questions. So a lot of this time of the year is usually spent, you know, refreshing my memory and revising books and putting my little, you know, I would say little toolkit, right, of books together, putting them in my bag and making sure that I go through certain topics and chapters every single day, and also preparing my lectures and preparing my notes for what I'm going to be teaching in Hajj. And in our minds, what we're thinking of is, I'm going for Hajj, so the reward is whoever performs the Hajj, as we see in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? Whoever performs a complete Hajj, the reward for them is laysa lahu jaza'un, you know, that person has a reward of paradise, and they return to their family or they return to their country after they've done their Hajj. Kayawmin waladatu ummu, they return as though it was the day that their mother gave birth to them, meaning clean and pure from any sins in their account. All has been removed. You are fresh. You are new. You are starting once again a new chapter in life, right? And so we feel that the reward is great. And we know that the reward is great. And so that's why we prepare for it. But what about every single one of us who is unable to go for Hajj, or not going for Hajj that year, or has gone for Hajj already but not able to go this year, or wants to go for Hajj but hasn't been chosen this year, right? Or whatever year it is. What about them? Is there any reward? And this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us hope year after year, year after year, that fasting a single day from the days of Dhul Hijjah, fasting on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, which is the day of Arafah, the reward for fasting on that day is expiation of sins that we've committed from the previous year and the preceding year, the year to come. Look at the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at that abundant amount of mercy that comes from Allah azza wa jal to those who are not going for Hajj, those who are sad already, right? We feel really sad when we are not chosen to go for Hajj, or we are not given the opportunity, the ability to go for Hajj that year. We feel extremely sad that Allah has not chosen me this year and not blessed me with the ability to go. And so I feel what you feel. And I know some of you are saying, but you've gone for Hajj so many times. Yes, but I'm not going this year, right? And I didn't go last year. And despite having gone for the years before that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us through the hardships that we go through or the blessings that are taken away, that you had something, you should always be thankful for what you have and pray and hope for what you can have moving forward in the future. We can be invited to Hajj in the future. In fact, some of us can be invited to Hajj this year. You never know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in store. Like blessings and mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they come at random times when we least expect it. وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Whoever has taqwa in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fears the punishment of Allah if we do something wrong, so you're focusing on doing what's right. يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. He makes a way out for us in you know, from the hardships that we're going through, in the challenges that we face in life. But he says, وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. And Allah blesses us, provides for us, provisions from places that we could not even imagine. We could not even comprehend. So, it's never impossible. It's never impossible. As much as we want to feel as though this is what has been chosen for me, things can change just like that. Just like our health can diminish drastically, just like someone who's sick can immediately can spontaneously be granted health, right, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything can happen and change. And so my brothers and sisters, keep in mind that as sad as we are that we're not able to go for Hajj this year, as much as we may have wanted to and we may have invested or even set some time and energy towards going for Hajj last year and we did not get the opportunity to go, and then the intention to go this year and now not having the opportunity to go, remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is not only upon those who go for Hajj. So here we are, at the beginning of the days of Dhul Hijjah, which are going to be upon us from tomorrow evening, right? Starting tomorrow evening is the beginning of Dhul Hijjah. So the blessings of these first 10 days are for the days, the daytime of Dhul Hijjah, okay? These 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ فِيهَا أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَيَّامِ. There are no days where good deeds and actions, right? الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ. Throughout these days, good deeds and actions are more beloved to Allah than these days of Dhul Hijjah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Okay, so if these are blessed days and these are awesome days that we are about to embark upon, we are about to experience. What am I going to do differently? What am I going to spend my time doing? What am I going to stop doing as well? See, we usually as Muslims focus on the things we need to do. Well, what about the things we should stay away from doing? Maybe I should stop backbiting my brothers and my sisters. Maybe I should stop swearing and using bad language. I'm giving examples. I'm not saying that this is me, right? Maybe I should stop cheating and stealing from others. Maybe I should do my job honestly when I go to work and not take advantage of others. Maybe I should stop consuming things that are haram. Maybe I should stop telling lies. Maybe I should stop dressing in a manner that is not appropriate for the believer. Maybe I should stop spending so much time on social media. Maybe I should stop eating unhealthy foods, right? For the sake of Allah, so that we can stop doing things that are not good for us. And by default, we are doing things that are good for us, right? So there's a balance in our life of doing good deeds and cutting out things that are not good for us as well. My brothers and sisters, these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would increase in ibadat, increase in worship. What can we do throughout the day? I want you to give me ideas now. There's quite a few of you on here, right? I'm seeing in front of me approximately, I would say 50 to 60 people, okay? So what exactly do you think? Give me ideas. Type it in, right? Type in the comment section, you know, in the chat in front of you. Type in what you think are good examples of good deeds that we as Muslims, not just you, anyone can do. You might not be able to do these or you might already be doing them, right? Give examples. Let's see. I want them to roll in, inshallah ta'ala, and I will say them out loud to everyone else. What do you think are examples of good deeds, good actions, types of worship, types of ibadah, types of sadaqah, types of goodness that Muslims can do throughout these days of Dhul Hijjah? Okay, the first thing that comes in is increase in night prayer. Very good, alhamdulillah. Even though it's at night, we can set a routine to try to increase in our night prayers. Okay, make dua. Very good, alhamdulillah. Forgive those who have done wrong to you. Absolutely, right? Forgiving those who have wronged us. More nawafil, okay? Sadaqah, nafil prayer, like tahajjud. Pray more nafil salah. Dhikr, very good, dhikr. How easy is it to do dhikr? And we forget to do that, right? We forget to do it. Even right now, we can say subhanallah because we're like, oh, I can't believe I haven't been doing my adhkar lately. Allahu Akbar. Or inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Or astaghfirullah, 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 right? So we could do that even right now. And it's so easy. Other things that are mentioned, keep typing them in. I want you to think more. There's a lot of things out there. There's hundreds of good deeds that we can do. And I want you to list them, insha'Allah ta'ala. Giving sadaqah every morning, increasing dhikr, sadaqah, fasting, make connection with the long-lost family members. Very good, very, very good, right? Reaching out to family members. More nawafil, volunteering at homeless shelters, senior centers, etc. Absolutely, ghanim. Allah yabarak fiq. Giving sadaqah, asking forgiveness from everyone. Asking forgiveness from everyone, right? Asking people to forgive you, those that you may have wronged, those that you may have wronged and don't even know of it. And I'm going to ask you all now, right? We are in the last hour of Friday. If I've wronged you or done or said anything wrong, please forgive me for that. I may have said or done something intentionally or not that may have, and usually it's not intentional, that has harmed you or made you feel something within you. Forgive me for that. For usually I'm the one talking and you're the one listening. So usually when the person who's doing all the talking is doing the talking, then that's the person that usually makes the mistakes, right? The most mistakes. So forgive me for anything. Giving salam to everyone. Fasting throughout the 10 days. Very good. Helping people. Feeding, fasting Muslims. Good. Not only fasting, but feeding the fasting Muslim. So a Muslim who's fasting, giving them some food to eat to break their fast at the time of iftar so that they are rewarded and you are rewarded with the reward of them fasting as well. Allahu Akbar. Absolutely amazing. Okay. Doing istighfar, and more istighfar, right? Seeking forgiveness. We need to seek more forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. And Seema says, salam everyone. So salam. Yes, giving salam as well is a good thing, right? What about smiling? What about helping someone cross the street? What about seeing something that's garbage on the ground or something harmful, something that's on the street, and we go and we pick it up or we move it out of the way? That's part of our belief, right? As Muslims, we believe that we have a responsibility to look after the place that we live in. And the Prophet ﷺ says that the lowest level of iman is imatatul adha anit tariq, to remove something that is harmful from the pathway of the people, right? To simply move something out of the way. That's a good deed. That's a type of ibadah. That's a type of worship. And so, my brothers and sisters, there's lots of things that we can do. Lots of things that we can do. We can also be patient when faced with some sort of trial or difficulty. Here's something to share. SubhanAllah, today, again, for the third time since April, I've had a nail or a screw in the tire of my car. Three times in the last few months. Three times. Some of you might say, I've been driving my whole life and I never got a nail in my tire. I've had three since April. Allahu Akbar, right? And what do? I get home, took my thobe off, put on some, you know, work clothes, get out there, plug it, 5 minutes, done. Alhamdulillah, right? It's annoying, it's irritating, it's frustrating. It doesn't make you feel good. But at the end of the day, if we think this is a blessing from Allah, right? This is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that came to us, that may have slowed us down to prevent us from something else that we may have faced had we been driving on the road. Allah knows. Preaching Islam, right? Sharing Islam with others, telling others about Islam is also a good deed that we can do, right? Helping people, visiting the sick, visiting people who are sick. Now I know it's COVID time, people are worried about visiting people who are sick, but not everyone has some sort of illness that can be transmitted, right? You may have a family member, a relative, a friend, a neighbor, a colleague, someone you know who is undergoing some sort of treatment, someone who you can visit, someone who you may be able to just make a phone call to, right? You may not have to actually go in and physically visit them because of COVID and protocols and stuff like that. Nowadays, we may be able to simply suffice with making a phone call. And so these are all good deeds that we can do and share with each other to benefit not only for our own personal selves, but everyone that's around us, right? People who are around us as we do these good deeds benefit from them as well. So my brothers and sisters, remember to keep up these good deeds. Now, alhamdulillah, that was good. That was a nice long list of many, many blessings that we can seek throughout these 10 days. One of the blessings is also to offer the sacrificial animal, right? To sacrifice an animal. And it's not simply a sacrificial animal that is offered. It is an animal that is sacrificed for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the meat is given to others to eat, to benefit from. It's not wasted. And so it is a charity that we do. How expensive is it to go to the store and buy meat? Very expensive, right? It's very expensive. I know back in the day, over 10 years ago, wow, subhanAllah, more than that, 15 years ago, my dad used to have a halal meat store. And, you know, I used to work as a butcher. And I know how expensive it was. I used to look at the meat and think to myself, subhanAllah, I'm like cutting someone's sirloin steak and putting it on the scale, going, mashallah, tabarakallah, I would love to grill this. Alhamdulillah, you know, I could simply take some meat from my dad whenever needed and barbecue a little bit myself instead of paying for this. It's expensive. But some of the blessings that we can earn throughout these days of Dhul Hijjah that are coming up in front of us are to offer that sacrificial animal, to not only sacrifice the animal for the sake of Allah, like in some other faiths, they just put plates of food, right? I used to live in Malaysia, and I've traveled the world, and I've been to many places, many, many places, where people offer plates or bowls or bags filled with food, oranges and bananas and, you know, rice and meat and biryani and plates. Literally food from the restaurant is placed in front of idols. And that food is going to waste. As Muslims, we're not wasting. The udhiyah, the qurbani, is going to those who are in need. And that's from one of the best things that we can do throughout the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, right? As in on the day of the 10th and then the 11th and the 12th, the days of Eid, we can offer that animal to be sacrificed. Allahu Akbar. That's amazing. It's absolutely amazing, right? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma says, right? Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived in Medina for 10 years. And every year on Eid, he sacrificed that animal. Every year on Eid, he sacrificed an animal. Thus showing us and indicating that the animal to be sacrificed is a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The scholars say it's a sunnah mu'akkada, one that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always did on Eid, right? He always would do. And he would have an animal sacrificed for his family, right? For that household. And so you do not need to sacrifice one animal per person. If you live in a household, let's say it's husband and wife and five children, one small animal is sufficient, or a share in a large animal is sufficient for your household. Alhamdulillah. Absolutely amazing, right? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for us to attain forgiveness, easy for us to attain rewards from Him, easy for us to seek higher levels in paradise. But we need to submit. We need to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, there are some questions that I've seen that come up. Okay, I saw nails and I thought someone was asking about clipping nails, but Sister Lubna was just mentioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows you're an expert in cars, and that you're able to remove it and fix it and plug it in 5 minutes, and that's why He made you experience 3 nails in your tires in the last few months. Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Right? It's not really something that I really want to take credit for, but alhamdulillah, it is what it is. All right, so my brothers and sisters, that's with regards to the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. You know, fasting as well was encouraged by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throughout these days. We can fast extra days, and especially on the day of the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, which is the day of Arafah. Imagine the hujjaj that are going and standing on Arafah, the sacrifice that they're making, the hours and hours of raising their hands and seeking forgiveness and making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we sitting here in the comfort of our homes can fast for that day and receive a year's forgiveness for the previous year and a year's forgiveness for the coming year. Look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us, right? But remember, take examples from those who have gone for Hajj. For the hours that we stand and we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should dedicate some time as well throughout these 10 days to make dua. There are many people that are suffering, that are struggling, that are facing oppression and hardship and going through difficulty in various different countries around the globe. So many different countries, so many different regions, so many different places, even places in our own backyards, as in right down the street sometimes, there are people that are suffering, that are suffering. COVID-19, this pandemic, has really made it difficult for everybody. Everybody, right? People who say, no, alhamdulillah, it's been a breeze. Yeah, but you're tired of certain things as well, aren't you? Right? Yes, tired of them. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Every one of us has faced some sort of hardship, some sort of difficulty. So make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you never know. It may be your neighbor who lives right next to you. It may be your spouse who lays down in bed next to you. It may be your sibling, your brother or sister who shares the room with you, right? Who is going through some sort of hardship. Up here, there's a lot of pressure, right? There's a lot of pressure in our minds. People are going through difficulty, thinking to themselves, when can I visit family once again? When can we enjoy the Friday nights in the masjid like we used to, right? When can we come together and sit and enjoy a cup of tea outside of, you know, the prayer hall in the gym, right? When can we come and sit in Dawood's office and he will make us a cup of coffee or tea? When? Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. We have the ability to make dua. To make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For when those days come, when Allah opens those days, as in opens the ability for us to benefit from being together and enjoying all the things that we enjoyed and going and sitting down and having a meal with family and friends inside of a restaurant or wherever it is, right? Doing the things that we considered normal once upon a time. When those days come, if we seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure, maybe He will bless us with an even more joyful feeling of sitting down and spending time with others and doing sadaqah, you know, by feeding them and helping them and assisting them in whatever it is that they're going through. And we'll feel so much more happiness than we used to. And we'll feel so excited. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make us appreciate it so much more. And Allah may bless us as well with things that we don't even think of. Like, no, we're not going to backbite because we're not going to take this for granted. We're not going to speak bad about others because we're not going to take this for granted. Allah took it away from us for some time. We don't want Him to take it away from us again. So let's not go back to making the same mistakes. Allahu Akbar. Wouldn't that be an amazing achievement from every single one of us? If we were to simply stop the things that are no good and cut them out from our lives? Absolutely amazing. So my brothers and sisters, make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to enjoy the rest of our lives and the years to come upon Iman and Islam and doing goodness in His obedience. Ameen. I want to open it up now for a few minutes. We'll give it about 5 minutes, inshallah, open it up for some questions. And then those of you who don't have questions, my encouragement to all of you is send a message to another family that you know of and tell them, hey, we're going to ICCM for Maghrib. Let's go, right? Let's go. Let's go to ICCM for Maghrib. I want all of you to do that right now. Send a message to someone else and say, hey, you know what? We're going to ICCM for Salat al-Maghrib right now. It's in a half an hour. The adhan is in 30 minutes, right? Send them a message, say, make wudu at home and let's go for Maghrib. Do this. Why? Because last week I announced in the masjid, I want to see more people coming for Maghrib on Friday. Last week, alhamdulillah, we had 5 or 6 rows of people. I want to see the whole prayer hall completely filled with people. Of course, we are still observing the physical distancing measures that are in place. And so do this right now. Those of you who have any questions, feel free to type it in. Those of you who don't have any questions, go and make wudu. Grab your family, stick them in the car, and come over to the masjid. Bring your prayer mats, bring your masks, make wudu at home, and let's see you for Salat al-Maghrib, insha'Allah ta'ala, here at the Islamic Community Center of Milton. Jazakum Allahu khayran wa barakallahu feekum, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. And once again, anyone who has any questions, I'll stick around for 5 more minutes, insha'Allah, for that, before I go and open the door for the cars that have already started to pull in to the parking lot. And remember, this is a time when dua is accepted, right? So make dua. Make dua. Shanaz, it's far from home, alhamdulillah. No worries, right? No worries. Try to go to your local masjid wherever you are, right? Sister Lubna, we wish you could join as well. Maybe you can go to the local masjid, right? Go to the local masjid near you as well, inshallah ta'ala, okay? So, unrelated question, is it halal for a Muslim to purchase life insurance? Okay, so no, life insurance is not something that is permissible for us to purchase. Ghanim, Allah yubarak fiqh, Allah yadzik al khair, Allah yaftah alayk, Allah yazawwijak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you. What would you say to those who don't believe in getting their COVID-19 vaccine? Tawakkal ala Allah. Right? Tawakkal ala Allah. That's what I would say. Have tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have both of my vaccines. I've received both my vaccines. Those who don't, look, I'm not here to fight with anyone. I know some people get into conversations and arguments with one another and say, come on, you have to, you know, do what's right. Look, people are stressed and people are tired and people have, you know, a lot on their minds already. Let's make excuses for one another. Let's do our part and encourage society in whatever we know is right and good, and leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. Shabazz, I'm doing good, alhamdulillah. Jazakum Allahu khayran. I hope you're doing well also. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and your family. Are you asking that question because you want me to give you my watch? Alhamdulillah. That was the story from last year, right? But this watch is new and it's a gift from my wife, so I'm not giving it away anytime soon. All right, say mashallah tabarakallah as well. Mashallah tabarakallah. Okay, why is life insurance not permitted? Simple, because there's no guarantee. Life has no guarantee, and you can't purchase something that has no guarantee to it. As in, you know, you're purchasing something, you know that you're going to die. We're all going to die, but you don't know how you're going to die. Leave it at that. Leave it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All right. Seems like that's it for the questions. I hope to see all of you here at the Islamic Community Center of Milton. There's quite a few of you on still. I would say about 50 of you are still on, or 40 of you. So please do make your way over to the masjid, inshallah. Make sure you make wudu, make sure you have your mask, and make sure you have your prayer mat, right? And stick together, okay? Has the capacity at ICCM increased? So the capacity is currently at 25% with physical distancing put in place. And because of the 6-foot physical distancing, even from next Friday, when it goes to 100% capacity, we are still not allowed to go more than the roughly 220 capacity that we are at with the physical distancing markers in place. So everyone has to stand 6 feet apart with that 6-foot distancing. Doesn't matter how much percentage they increase, we still can't increase the percentage within the masjid until the distancing between us is shortened. And so we're at the capacity that we can, that we're allowed to host, right? Roughly about 200 and some odd people for now, inshallah ta'ala. All right, so we'll end the session, inshallah. I'll see all of you here in the masjid in the next few minutes. Barakallahu feekum. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.